Entrepreneur Circle is an On Air Brands production and a proud member of the On Air Brands Network.
Hi, this is Robert Kiyosaki, and you're listening to Entrepreneur Circle with Eric Cabral.
On this episode...
When you live kind of simple and frugal and below your means, whatever that number is, whether it means you're earning $50,000 a year or $500,000 or $5 million, if you're living way below that, and we have an episode like COVID come along, or some other craziness that may befall us in 2021, it's not so scary. It just feels better to be in a crisis and be focused on taking care of your staff, your employees, the people around you, than being worried about yourself. It's much lower pressure.
Hey there, folks, and welcome back to another episode of the Entrepreneur Circle. My goal is to inspire you by chatting with entrepreneurs about their successes, their failures in life and in business. I am your most humbled host, Eric Cabral, a real estate investor, a creative, and I've been in the creative industry for over 20 years. Got my start in New York City as a junior art director, made my way to the top of the corporate ladder and realized there was the proverbial glass ceiling. So I hung up my corporate hat and started my own creative agency called On Air Brands, where we broadcast your brand and your message using podcasts and social media marketing, along with the help of my other company, PodMax, which hosts live and virtual events for top performing entrepreneurs to get them on podcasts and to learn from our keynote speakers and our massive network. So to learn more about that event, hit up podmax.co and sign up for the next event. They're happening each and every month. So as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with 2 to 3 of your friends to continue growing our community and to help others grow from the knowledge shared here and learned here on this podcast. And before we jump into the show, I'd like to share some of what our sponsors, partners, and good friends have to offer you. Hey there, entrepreneurs. Eric Cabral here, founder of On Air Brands and host of the Entrepreneur Circle and Capital Hacking. I wanted to share something truly unique with you that we've created called PodMax, which is an amazing opportunity to connect you with major podcasts to help you share your fascinating stories with their communities. This unique invitation-only event includes interviews with you on top-rated business podcasts all in one day. It also provides a unique networking opportunity with high-performance guests and thought leaders who are authors, coaches and consultants, investors, speakers, executives, you name it. These are the type of people that you need to be around. We also provide industry expert keynotes to hit our stage to share insights on podcasting, investing, marketing to help you take things to the next level. And the cool thing about PodMax is that it has a multimedia agency engine behind it with On Air Brands to provide social media promotions before and after the event to share your brand new shows with your network. So hit the apply now button at podmax.co, and I hope to see you at the next PodMax event.
Hello, everybody. I am Hone Tai with the Hone Zone, and today I am the guest host of the Entrepreneur Circle. The goal of this podcast is to explore the different ways to build a business and to share the successes and the failures so that we can build a better business and better relationships. And today, my guest is Wally Conway. He is I don't want to get this wrong because he has this laundry list of achievements. All right. So he's been featured as an expert on HGTV on House Detective. He co-hosted the DIY Network series, Finders Fixers. He's the host of the Home and Garden Show radio show, and he, as well as Sold in St. Augustine on WSOS. He is also the founder of Monument Commercial Building Inspection, as well as Home Pro Inspections. And he has a whole host of other achievements, a U.S. Naval Academy graduate, retired as a Navy pilot, licensed contractor, home inspector, energy auditor, media expert, and an entrepreneur. So that's a lot. You did a lot.
Hone, it's not that many things. The part you left out, I was born in 1955. I'm 65 years old. It's pretty easy to get a laundry list over half a century. It's easy.
I know lots of people who are that age who didn't even accomplish a tenth of that. So congrats to all of the things that you've done so far. So, Wally,
looking forward to 2021 and beyond to enjoy more great things.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad because a lot of people are not as optimistic. So let's start off this conversation correctly. Wally, what are you excited for in the future? What is it that you look forward to? What are you so optimistic about?
Well, I'm optimistic about just about everything. I'm real committed to my health and wellness, both in a mental health sense and a physical health sense. At the tender age of 65, everything works, nothing hurts, and I take no medicines to do it. I wake every morning at 5:30 without the need for the alarm. I have it set as a backup. It's just a habit from the Navy pilot days. But anytime we're coming out of turmoil or in turmoil, which we can absolutely say that we are presently, there's opportunity that comes from that. And by relaxing a little bit and looking beyond the noise, things are going to go really, really well for those with a positive eye and a positive mind.
Wow. Well, I look forward to reaching 65 years old and having that same mindset. That's incredible. That's incredible. So let's rewind the tape a little bit. So you've created a lot of businesses and things like that. So when did your entrepreneurial career begin? What was the very first thing you did? And why is it that you are in business?
Well, you might say it was mowing lawns in New Jersey and shoveling walks and raking leaves and those things that kids did back in the black and white days, just to be sure they had a couple of bucks for a candy or whatever. And then it took a hiatus when I went off to the Naval Academy and then had a career as a Navy pilot. There was nothing entrepreneurial about that. There's a bit of creativity from time to time, maybe a bit of discipline, but not entrepreneurial. When I retired in 1994, it occurred to me, I had never been on a job interview, never had a resume, and I was a little quirky, I guess, in a personality sense. And I thought, who in the right mind would hire me? So perhaps I should start a business. And during that active duty time also, I was futzing about with real estate. I had bought a few houses and flipped houses and little renovation here, held some mortgages, was a landlord, thought it should be something in real estate. And the home inspection universe was very new in 94. There were only 9 in all of Jacksonville, Florida. And each of those businesses was chucking a truck. There were no real businesses. Our staff, very shortly after we started, became larger than the industry in the region overall.
Oh, wow.
So that was the foray into it, was reading books. And it was interesting, because of my background, you know, at the Naval Academy and as a pilot, education and reading and constant never-ending improvement and mentorship was just beat into me, I guess you could say. So while my peers at that time were trying to learn more about an electric panel or these other technical things, yes, you know, I was rapidly able to learn the raw technical skills, but I started reading marketing books and business development books and things of that sort, which gave us a real competitive edge to be thinking as a business as opposed to thinking as a technician.
Wow, that was a mouthful.
I was breathing the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, it is your story. And now, for those who want to maybe end up where you are, 65 years old, you have a ton of businesses, a ton of experiences, but they have been told to go interview for a job, unlike you, where you said that you've never interviewed. What do you say to them? Because I think a lot of times people take job interviews because their parents want them to go get the job, but in their heart, they know that that's not where they want to be. So what would you say to them?
Well, firstly, I would say a job is the right thing for a large number of people.
Okay.
There are a lot of people who have an entrepreneurial fantasy because they see something of somebody standing in front of a jet or sitting on a Lamborghini that they rented.
Yeah.
And they don't quite understand the intensity and the risk that goes into that entrepreneurial journey. For some of us, that's all quite exciting. And for normal people, they should have a job. So I don't look down at a person who has a job. I'm excited for them and I'm grateful for them. And as a person whose business, you may say, is to create jobs, those are good things. But for the person who has the itch, I think the first and foremost thing is to be humble and be frugal so that you can invest into the business. And that doesn't mean millions or billions in the get-go. Right. But if you've got your Gucci shoes and your Rolex and a car payment that you really don't need, those things are impeding the entrepreneurial journey. So my first thought for a person who's seeking to transition to an entrepreneurial place is get real skinny. Get skinny on your personal expenses so that, you know, you want to be fed and you want to be able to sleep in a safe place. But at the same time, if you're putting on this facade rather than rolling frugal, that will slow, if not murder, the potential for the business.
Wow. I love that, because too many people do get into the entrepreneurial side of things because they see the Rolex, they see the jet and the Lamborghini and all, and that's why they do it. And then at the very first chance that they get to buy something like that, they do. And you were saying it impedes or potentially murders your ability to be that entrepreneur that can actually afford those things.
Absolutely. So that fancy car payment, that's really in lieu of hiring another person, or overspending on the home may keep you from purchasing a building or some other asset you need to accelerate the business.
Right.
So be frugal, live slim.
Right. Live slim so that you can continue to reinvest back into the business and grow the business to a real business, one that pays for all the toys that you actually want. Because we were speaking offline and you were saying that, like, you don't really want anything else. Like you probably have it all now at this point.
Well, that sounds bigger than it is. And I wouldn't want to mislead. We live what I consider to be quite humbly, but at the same time, I am more excited at this particular point about the journey. I'll give you an example. Monday, we're starting a new business. We're starting a pest control business. Well, that's really exciting.
Yeah.
You know, we'll be serving our customers better by blending service. We'll be employing additional people. Lots of positives come from that. And the measure of success after how many did you hire and how many people did you care to, there will be some profitability from it.
Yes.
But I don't think I'll be moving just because we have a few extra dollars, or I just live simple. I like it simple.
Right.
And you know, the neat thing, Hone, is when you live kind of simple and frugal and below your means, whatever that number is, whether it means you're earning $50,000 a year or 500 or 5 million, if you're living way below that, and we have an episode like COVID come along, or some other craziness that may befall us in 2021, it's not so scary.
Yeah.
Because you've already skinnied down. And your focus becomes not on, am I going to have to live in the cold, or do I have to walk to work, or whatever it is. It's, what do I got to do to be sure all the people on my staff are okay? And that's it just feels better to be in a crisis and be focused on taking care of your staff, your employees, the people around you, than being worried about yourself. It's much lower pressure.
Yeah. And it makes it enjoyable. People don't realize how stressful being your own business is, or like having your own business is. And so if you're slimmed down, the pressure's off, and then it can actually remain fun.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Yeah, that's the goal. So you're creating your new pest control business. But before that, you're hosting a podcast now, the Commercial Real Estate Today podcast, correct?
Yes, that's been a lot of fun. And I must tell you very candidly, the reason that we started Commercial Real Estate Today was to create relationship with the guests for our commercial building company. So we do sit in the studio, we do interviews with movers and shakers in the local region in all aspects of commercial real estate. Some are developers, some are agents, some are insurance people, people that write business plans, people I would just find interesting to meet and have a conversation with. And then we focus on elevating their visibility in the commercial real estate space. So there's very little interaction in the sense of, it's not me talking about Monument Commercial Building, Monument Commercial Building, Monument. I don't need to do that. We're talking about their business, and that generates a natural curiosity in the people listening and in the sphere of the guests. Well, Who is that host? What do they do? What business are they in? So it's relationship creating one-on-one on the studio and then sharing that across the networks.
Right. And it's a win-win for both of you.
And it's fun.
And it's fun, of course. Now, are you still looking for guests for your show?
Absolutely.
What kind of guests are you looking for?
I'm looking for guests who have some particular niche in commercial real estate that's a little bit different and a little bit interesting. So I had a wonderful conversation a couple of weeks back with a gentleman named Tripp Stanley, Jacksonville-based guy, and his focus is taking industrial spaces that are basically fallow and turning them into great spaces for people. Sometimes it's office space, restaurant space, mixed use space. Well, that's real interesting stuff when you get digging into all that has to happen there with the vision and the financing and the architecture and the unknowns, and it was a brownfield. That's really neat stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So you're listening to them and how they're putting all the puzzle pieces together, and then voila, we have this masterpiece at the end.
There you go.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Okay.
Multifamily is always interesting, you know? It's all interesting to me. I think the key as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, certainly as a show host, is a curiosity. You're legitimately curious of what's going on in the dome of the person that you're speaking to. And you know, as a host, our only role is to draw out whatever's on the mind of the other person in a way that's interesting to that third person who's listening.
Yeah. Why is it that you are at the age of 65 and you're still building businesses? Like, for most people, this is when they wind down. You're still building up your monument commercial building inspection company. You're building up your podcast. You're starting this pest control business. Like, it sounds like you're actually ramping up, not slowing down. So,
well, I think that when you say you're retired and you say you're done, God looks down at you and says, "You're done? Come on home."
All right, then you're done.
It's terrible, this rocking chair thing. It's not a good thing. It's not a healthy thing mentally, physically. I've shared many times to be involved with philanthropy, not to say in any way, shape, or form with the Gates Foundation. But it turns out if you have the heart to give as a philanthropic mindset, whether you're giving of time or treasure or talent, you and I both have things that we can do, that we can contribute, that would be inordinately expensive for a nonprofit ever to do. Things like having them on the show or hosting events for them and doing things that cost a very, very small amount of money that gets larger. We did a fundraiser on not on my boat, but on another boat a couple of weeks back. In a single evening, we raised $150,000 for a group called Rethreaded on a boat ride.
Huh.
I spent time with people I wouldn't otherwise met, had a beautiful time. And here's a fun thing. The boat is called Innisfail. It was built by the Trumpy Mathis boat building company, originally based in Camden, New Jersey.
Okay.
And at one time, to have a Trumpy yacht was the equivalent of driving a Duesenberg. It was the cat's meow.
Yeah.
That same boatyard, the Trumpy boatyard, they built Sequoia, which was the presidential yacht from the 40s until Jimmy Carter sold it in the 70s. So this is the scale of this yacht. Very valuable, very beautiful yacht. And you sit and say, well, how in the world do you come across that? My daughter, Joyce, was at a fundraiser, and the owners of this yacht put it up as for an auction. And no one was interested in it. My daughter knew about my passion for boats. We have actually been on other Trumpies. So it's another long story. So she made the first bid, and the first bid was $500, and it was the only bid.
Wow.
So we took her $500, not an amount of money that most of us, certainly anybody listening, if it was important to you, you could find $500 to give to a good cause. So Joyce did that. And she called me, she said, Dad, I won this auction. It's on this particular boat. I knew the boat. What are we going to do with it? And what we did with it, we donated it to Rethreaded for a fundraiser to bring people together. They were doing a capital build to build a new center. They service ladies who've been rescued, I guess is the proper term, from human trafficking.
Yeah.
Wonderful cause, very entrepreneurial nonprofit. So anyway, we invite the right group of people onto that. We raised $150,000 in one night through the Dolores Barr Weaver Foundation. That's the family who previously owned the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mrs. Weaver pledged up to $750,000 in matching grant. We took the I guess you'd say publicity or the buzz about what we did on the boat ride. And we ended up raising over $1.5 million in barely a month to fund in cash the center they were building.
Wow. All from $500.
All from $500 that my daughter started with. But it goes to show, when people think about philanthropy, they think about, as I say, you know, the Gates Foundation and the big stuff. But about 80% of philanthropic dollars are small donors. So it's in getting people excited to do things together that's appropriate for where they are in their lives and their budget. Right. And then also recognize, hey, we can do a boat ride and turn it into crazy stuff. We raise money for Best Buddies on my boat all the time. Gives me an excuse to meet people and justify being on the boat.
That I love that story. I mean, that is really cool because, I mean, who would have that vision to take that $500 little boat trip that your daughter got you just because she knew what you liked and then turn it into that? It's like humble, small beginnings to this massive impact.
But isn't that the entrepreneurial vision and the entrepreneurial journey? To take from seemingly nothing and growing it into something or repurposing it in a different way. And it begs the question, oh, why can't we do that in more areas? If a person says, oh, I want to be an entrepreneur, good, be a social entrepreneur. Let's go create something to really help other people. And in the process, this is a self-serving piece that's very honest. We had 30 people on the boat. A good portion of those people would not have given me personally or professionally the time of day. Not that they're rude or whatever, just they're busy people. And I didn't necessarily fit into their sphere, but we now have relationship.
Right.
I'm not invisible to any of those 30 people any longer. None of those 30 people are invisible to me any longer. And we do things together. It's great.
Right. And you got that because you put together this event. And yeah, it is the entrepreneurial spirit, isn't it?
And and it's serendipitous. It's okay. Here's an opportunity. Let's run with it. It'll be fun.
Hello, this is Josh McCowan, CEO of Viva May Hospitality and the beautiful Renault Resort Winery. I have to tell you, the secret's out. And the secret is On Air Brands. On Air Brands, creative agency, which specializes in launching podcasts, transforming live events into live streaming events, and social media marketing soup to nuts. On Air Brands has changed the game. There'll never be a day from here forward when you and I and our companies don't need to be on the air. Every brand needs to be on the air, but so few know that. So it's great to work with a group that are ahead of the curve and to find a company that has been built on the core foundation of the future of marketing. If you're ready to broadcast your brand like they've done for my brands, take the next step and make a change that can transform your business. Reach out to On Air Brands today. That's onairbrands.com. Yes, onairbrands.com.
I think business people and entrepreneurs and all, they get a bad rap. Like they get a bad name. It's almost like every time entrepreneurs in the movie, they're depicted as somebody who's like an evil villain who like underpays everybody and keeps all the profit and like is just sitting there in his chair counting money.
It does happen. But let's be honest, you know people who've been quite successful. I know people who've been quite successful. Those that manage to sustain for any length of time tend to be pretty decent people.
Yes.
And the people that don't treat other people well have difficulty retaining employees. They have difficulty finding people to partner with. They have
difficulty finding people to borrow when they need to borrow. It all shakes out in the wash. And the truth of it is, you just want to be around people you can respect and enjoy.
This is very true. This is all very, it's like real simple, right? It's like you treat people right, and then you get treated right in the long run.
And don't get your panties in a bunch when someone treats you wrong because they're not like-minded. It's going to happen.
That's a good one too. Don't get your panties in a bunch. All right. Are there any favorite quotes or philosophies you live by chance?
Well, I'll share one with you that I wrote.
Okay. That's a good one.
If you're not having fun doing your thing, you're doing the wrong thing or your thing wrong.
Oh, wow. Okay. If you're not having fun doing your thing, you're either doing the thing wrong or the wrong thing.
Yeah. So you can say, all right, and if, you know, we have basically seven aspects to our lives, you know, our physical, our spiritual, our financial, our job and whatnot. Make believe there's seven.
Okay.
And I said to you, Hone, in which part of your life do you choose to be miserable?
Which one do I choose to be miserable?
Yeah, would you like to be miserable in your relationships?
Yeah, right. I don't want to be. I may be,
would
but I
like
don't.
Would you like to be miserable in your health?
Right. I don't want to be. No, I would never choose that.
Ah, you would never choose that. So you have the intention to be healthy and well in every aspect of your life. So I distilled that down. If you're not having fun doing your thing, you're doing the wrong thing or your thing wrong. Things do happen. We have challenges. People pass away. You have an injury. You have an illness. You have an unexpected business burp. But nonetheless, you just want to be happy.
Yes. I like it. I like it. No, that's a good one. That's better than all the other ones I've heard so far. I'm gonna take that one to heart. And hey, you're 65, so
I wrote that. You know, I just.
Yeah, you've seen a few more things than me, so I'm gonna take that one to heart.
Well, you know, here's a crazy thing: when you project in an honest sense, not a facade, that you're happy and you're respectful and you're appreciative, you tend to attract similar people. And miserable people can't stand to be around you, and they go elsewhere. Isn't that a good thing?
Yeah, it's like a repellent. It's like that scene in the movie. What movie is that where the guy's like, hey, he owes me $20, right? And he went to go chase
him. I don't know. I got to tell you something. I'm on my boat now. Almost 20 years ago, I lived on a boat for 4 years. I didn't have cable TV. You had mentioned I had done some time on HGTV. When I was on HGTV, I didn't own a television.
Ah, okay.
I have not had cable TV in more than 20 years. My wife and I, we moved last October, which is whatever that is, 15 or 18 months ago. We live in this condo on the water where we keep the boat. We were in the same home for 13 years. And in our home, we did not have cable TV or internet.
Wow.
It was a place of peace.
Yeah.
And it goes back to the be where you are. You know, where am I right now? I am right here with you. That is the only place I am. No one else can be in this space. No one can talk me out of this space. It's you and me right here. And for me, when I go home, I go home.
Right.
And that door is like a drawbridge into the castle. When I come out onto the boat, I am on the boat, you know, here with you. No one on planet Earth can disturb me or disrupt me from enjoying being with you.
Right. Wow. That's like Eckhart Tolle. Are you familiar with Eckhart Tolle?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Just be present wherever you are. Be there.
Be where you are.
Be where you are.
If you don't like where you be, pack your stuff and go someplace else. It goes back to the happy thing, right?
It's like this wise man once said, be where you are. And if you're not happy where you are, then either you're not where you're supposed to be or you're.
You can own that one. That's a paraphrase, but you can own that. I own the other one.
Yeah,
you
I know. Own that one.
You're not happy where you be someplace else.
Right.
And it's the same in your business. You know, We started a chimney service company a few years ago called Chimney Champions. It was neat and it was exciting. And then it got unexciting and we sold it. Said, you know what? This isn't the right fit for our other little blend of businesses. This isn't working. Sold it to the guy who was running it. And he's running it better than we ran it. And he's happy. And I'm happy not to have it.
Why were you not happy while running it when you had it?
Candidly, mm-hmm. I had an entrepreneurial vision for the company and really intended to scale it. And the individual who was running it had a vision to be the most incredible technician in the history of chimneys.
Got it.
Those two things are not compatible.
I see.
Super technician, not entrepreneurial, or not in the sense that I felt we needed to be to scale it. So it was better for him and better for me for him to have it and go be super technician. And it's going very well for him. He's happier without me.
Got it. And you're happier without it.
Yeah. And they still send me a check each month until it's paid off.
So. Oh, a little seller finance. Nice. Okay. All right. Hey, if you could have a permanent banner ad on every website in the world, what would that banner ad say?
You can trust me.
Okay. Well, based on our conversation so far, it sounds good. Doesn't sound
so
too
far. Well, then we better keep talking to see if you find a place where you lose that trust.
All right. Well, let's see your book taste. Are there any books that you've read more than once? What's your favorite book you recommended more than once?
I'm a real fan of Gary Keller in The One Thing.
Yeah.
I've read it multiple times. I actually attended their certification program. I was in the first 100 people to be certified to teach and train that program. But, so many of us talk about multitasking, and you can't multitask. That term didn't even exist until the computer age. And what happened to processors is that they got faster. They could switch between tasks seamlessly.
Got
so
it.
It appeared it was doing multiple things. But in fact, it was one thing at a time.
One thing at a time. Just switching, yeah. But humans can't switch that fast. Or
that's
we think
it.
We are.
You lose time in the switch.
Yeah. You do lose time in the switch. And so you think you're doing a good thing by doing multiple things around the same time, but each switch has switching cost.
You lose it. And I believe, if I get this wrong, somebody's wise can tell me that I think it was the Buddhist monks had a term they called monkey mind.
Yeah.
Meaning attempting to do multiple things at the same time. So you don't want to have a monkey mind. You want to do one thing and do it to the best of your ability.
Right. That monkey mind is bouncing all over the place. Yeah. Now that one thing is super powerful, because that's actually, I spoke to somebody else on PodMax, and he said that a person who has multiple businesses, like he's running multiple things, he says he will experience linear growth. Okay. Like he will experience linear growth, but the person who can hyper-focus on the one business and really grow that one business, they will experience exponential growth. So he was saying,
I put a twist on that and say that if the businesses were symbiotic, they made sense together.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily problematic. So as an example, we have a residential home inspection company, Home Pro. We have a commercial building company, building inspection company, Monument Commercial. We have the pest control company, which they blend. So what happens is we're able to serve more customers simultaneously with the things they need it within the context of the transaction.
I feel you. I my businesses are very similar. Real estate education, I do real estate loans. And so I tend to stack my businesses
It's a real estate vertical, essentially. So if you have you have the brokerage, you have the insurer, you have the title, and you have the mortgage, suddenly, you're good at 3, 5, 10% of the value of the transaction rather than just picking a sliver.
So all right, so you're gaining a little credibility. You're on the right page there. real quick before we run out of time, Wally, where can people reach out to you if they want to hear more about you, your story, or anything like that? How can they reach out to you? Or if they wanted to be on your podcast, also, how can they reach out to you about that?
Right. Well, the podcast is Commercial Real Estate Today on iTunes and all the other podcast locations. Easy way to get a hold of me is through the website at monumentcommercial.com. And, staff will get me right away. We'll set up what I like to do before I bring a guest on, quite truthfully, is we set them up on a quick Zoom so that I can blend it with my research. And I'll always research the guests before we get there. I want to get them comfortable with the process because you know what it's like. Very often your guests, they're brilliant and interesting and wonderful people, but if they're not really experienced or comfortable in an interview process, they can get uncomfortable. So I spend the time to get them comfortable.
Gotcha. All right. So this is the most important question, I think. What do you like most about your life? What is your favorite part about your life?
I think my favorite part of my life, to be honest, is that I'm content. I feel real good about it. I can look back and say, you know, you did some things you shouldn't have done, or you did some things you should have done and you did them poorly. But I'm so enthused about the rest of today and tomorrow and the next 40 to 50 years. I think it's a contentment with the person that I am, yet always looking to get just a little bit smoother.
Got it. All right. So it's a forever journey to get a little smoother.
Constant and never ending improvement.
Yeah. Yeah. But being happy and content with who you are right now, even though you're not as smooth as you could possibly be, is still okay.
Yeah, and smooth, not in some crazy context, just that more smooth in comfort, in joy.
Absolutely, absolutely. I say this is the most important question, is because all too often we go out and we want to create a business and create the biggest business and the most profitable and the one with the most money and the biggest bank account and the most toys. And I find that sometimes we forget about the whole point of life. And we're so wrapped up in making so much money that we forgot that we actually did it to build a life that we actually want.
And something you'll see as time goes by is people that don't focus on their mental and physical wellness end up in very, very bad places. It's not good. You got to take care of your bones, your body, and your mind, or bad things happen.
Yeah. What do you do for physical activity these days?
I'm up every morning at 5:30. I spend about 50 minutes. I walk. I do my calisthenics. I've been in the fitness center over the last few months. Hit the treadmill, hit the weights. There's a person who was truly an athlete, an endurance athlete, would just find me to be a wimp. But for me, I'm dedicated to the time. I do not miss that time. And I listen to podcasts while I'm getting my motion going. Staying in motion.
Do you listen to your own podcast?
I do.
Yeah. Good. Get up in the rankings, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Wally, that is our time for today. Thank you so much for being on the Entrepreneur Circle. This is Eric Cabral's podcast. Today I'm guest host. So again, I'm Hone Tai. Thank you guys all for listening. And my guest today was Wally Conway. So reach out to him. Any last words, Wally?
Just thanks for having me here. I really enjoyed meeting you and looking forward to fun things we do moving forward.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's it for now, folks. If you'd like to stay in touch with the show, you can contact me directly at eric@onairbrands.com. That's Eric, E-R-I-K, at onairbrands.com. And if you aren't already subscribed to the show, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, or any other podcast platform. And please recommend us to one or two people in your circle. That will go a long, long way to growing our community. Also, if you could rate us on iTunes, just take a moment to give us 5 stars. And if they have more stars, give all of them. We'd greatly appreciate you for that. And always, always like, subscribe, and share this show on social media. We'd love you for that as well. And if you have any ideas or want to hear something on a future show, please hit us up. Maybe you have a question for one of my guests, or you want to tell a story, a success story. We'd love to hear from you. You can do that, especially if you're on the Anchor platform. You can leave us a voice message. We'd love to incorporate you and your voice on a future episode. Once again, folks, thanks again for listening to the Entrepreneur Circle. Please like, subscribe, and share. I am Eric Cabral, and as always, remember, your network is your net worth. So get in the circle.